Our scripture for today is found in 1 John 4, 9 through 18. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. The word of the Lord.
Good morning. My name is Morgan. I'm one of the pastors here. Today I'm preaching with my coat on. I can't stand it when preachers preach with their coat on. Remember that one time I think Kirk preached with a hat on? It was just unbelievable. Unbelievable. I hope all you had an enjoyable Christmas. My Christmas was four busy days of positive interactions with all the people I saw. And I would say in general, my interactions with my family have not ever been bad interactions, but it is certainly an area in my life where Christ is moving my heart from one place to another. Something I'm learning to admit about myself is that I am stingy. Stingy not necessarily with money or possessions, because those can be used to serve my stinginess, but stingy in the way I give myself to others. Myself meaning mostly my emotional life. I have known this about myself for a while, but I never called it stinginess up until now. Up until a few weeks ago, I would have just called it how I am, or even the way God made me, which there's truth to that. But it is also very true that this in my life has just been a very well-planned worship of self, never sharing my emotional life with anyone because I'm convinced that I don't need anyone. And just knowing Christ, we know the jig is up on self-worship being a place of undisturbed comfort. It has been clear to me for some time that this is something Christ is not interested in leaving alone, and that healing is going to taste like death. So each time Christ has pushed me on the issue, and there has been multiple times, my comfort levels get adjusted, and then I quickly look around to see what else I can claim as my own. And maybe, if you're like me, we can admit that this leads to much complaining. If you're honest about the way you feel about this world, the life you've been given, the God who didn't keep the promise the way you thought it would be, much of the Christian life is to be had in these long, drawn-out arguments with God. As Christ hears our complaints about the way he's running the show, and then draws out his answers across time. Life with Christ is funny. Unlike me, Christ does not withhold himself. His condescension to us is as determined as it can be. He is insisting that we know his love. Yet, from the experience of faith, Christ does seem to be withholding. Oh, how much we would prefer a Christ who is either immediately lifting us up to the heavens or immediately bringing heaven down to earth. But grace through faith is Christ coming to you and me in a presence and a spirit. And telling us to pick up our cross. This is the only way to God, and it is the one way to God that all the saints have walked on. And this way of becoming lesser, lesser in Christ, lesser in self, is the way the saving power of Christ will be known. And our cross is Christ. And the life he is delivering. It is not more or any more complicated than that. But his presence is demanding. And he decides things for us. Which is unfortunate for people who don't think they need anyone. Next week, we'll return to the Romans series. If you remember, we charged through the whole book of Romans a few weeks ago. Taking a very high-level look at God's plan for salvation. And now we're going to start at chapter 5 and just work through chapter 8. We'll be forced to explain in more detail things like justification and sanctification and mortification and all these big fancy Christian words, which I love those words, and how they fit into our union with Christ. I think it's fair to say that the Painted Door has generally avoided explaining anything in too much detail, with good reason for it, because explaining often leads to giving a sense of control when this life is almost completely out of our control. And most importantly, because the focus of the Christian life is the living Christ, and control makes laws. And laws are for fear. But we are born out of love and for love. Another reason we have generally avoided systematizing anything in too much detail is a straight line in scriptures does not necessarily mean a straight line in Christian experience. Truth and doubt each have their role to play in guiding the Christian to their eternal home. And God's revelation does not diminish experience, but interprets experience and gives it a name. And the name given to the whole breadth of Christian experience is the name above all names, and that is Christ. In Christ, sinners are reborn in grace and are nourished in grace. There's no darkness too dark, no sickness too sick, no stubbornness too stubborn to stop Christ from approaching whatever situation you have yourself in and turning your woundedness and your sin into mercy and grace. So, my constant thought over the holidays was that it's everywhere, you see it in everyone, we all desire to be loved unconditionally. And there's not really a choice being made, necessarily, when we attach that desire for pure love to persons or objects or actions. There is no choice in the sense that we have to attach it to something. Because we cannot stop looking for this type of love. It is our constant desire to have it and worship. And it is either received and adored in Christ, or we take it and do something else with it. In my case, I just put it back on myself. So, what is the most honest you can be about your need for love? Admitting our desperation for love can leave us feeling a little nervous and exposed. It forces us to do some admitting about what we've done in the past to fill that need for pure love. So how honest can you be? I tend to think I can always be better than I currently am, which is true in one sense, because we are always progressing into the death and resurrection of Christ. But it also shows that I'm tricked again in thinking my works have something to do with my value before God. This is the great addiction of our sin, always returning to counting score or a merit-based system to explain the sinner's attainment of God's love and grace when it cannot be done. It is a worthless game. Love can be received, but it cannot be aimed at, for God's love is always to be surprised by. And it cannot be exchanged with. God's love cannot be mastered or quieted. Our works and our spiritual progress are given no influence in God's loving embrace. He loves you because you are his. And all that he needed for you to be his was a crucified Savior. So, on to our scripture for today, starting in 1 John 4, verse 9. In this love, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So what is love to us? Love is God in the flesh, Jesus Christ our Lord. He became a man for us. He brought human nature into the eternal fellowship of the Trinity, putting on flesh attached to our curse and surrendering to humiliation, a life in slavery to love, and a cross, drinking up the wrath of God. And he held this up as his sin before God and tasted death. And in death's exchange, resurrection life was released upon us. The love given to us is both the person and his story. What is open to us in faith is not just having a knowledge of the gospel, but his ever-present death and life on our behalf. Forgiveness and love having the only say in the game. It is an accomplishment and energy that is just out of our control. It is Christ who saved us. It is Christ who is saving us, both historical and ever-present, and we live present with his victorious cross by faith. All we have in our possession is Christ himself. That's it. Through faith, Christ is given to you, and through faith, Christ is experienced by you. The fight of faith is to live in surrender to every step of faith belonging to Christ and manifested in Christ. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. So, does the cross, being the apex of God's love, belittle our experience of God's love? No, not at all. Never. It secures our experience in the divinity of God and the humanity of God. And because he is out of our control and his kingdom is currently hidden in faith, he is known at this time by the evidence of his presence. And the evidence of the life of Christ most repeated here is love for the church and love for the world. First, to have Christ is to have the church. We are gathered together in Christ, and we are a funny bunch indeed. Particularly in our demands for love, we know that it should be from Christ, but we have a community of people that are always demanding something that they cannot give, which is perfect love from another human being. And we demand when we cannot even give it ourselves. The demand for unconditional love, for pure love, is constant. And we cannot be pure love in and of ourselves. But a great mystery is that we do have pure love to give. Second, love for the world. God's mission for the church is his love to be communicated to all that he gives to our care. We are to be beacons of God's love, guides in God's love, healers in God's love. Verse 15. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe that the love that God has for us, God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also we are in this world. There is a constant danger with theology or knowledge of God or the gospel, the Nicene Creed, anything that has a list, is to regard that knowledge as a token to be exchanged with God, or to think that the knowledge as a place for potential merit. But what comes before all else in the gift of faith is the presence of God with us. By faith, Christ is with us through his Holy Spirit. Faith is a place for knowledge to be obtained and for knowledge to be experienced, but it is not knowledge itself. For faith is a gift given by the direct influence and power of the Holy Spirit. And faith is presence, and presence is Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit is Christ. So, brothers and sisters, let me tell you today, your faith is the love of God abiding with you, for you, and in you. He puts his name on your lips because he is with you, and his presence is grace upon grace. By faith, the way of God's love is open and free. The presence of Christ is always available. And it is the beginning and the end, in the best of times and in the worst of times. Verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. So what about our love for God? God's receiving of our love is a curious thing. One, it is always with us and in us. Faith cannot but love Christ, because faith is from the Spirit, and the Spirit adores Christ. But our love for Christ is so weak that love for God that looks like love for God, can take a lifetime. And it's almost like he doesn't draw too much attention to himself. He's always pushing us to love others without any complaining about how we actually consider him. We love little because we fear much. We love little because we fear sin. And it's interesting, the cycle of growing in love for God is like, he's always pushing you to people, whether it's church or the world, it's always people. He's pushing you to people, and you fail with those people, and you come out the other end, and you have a little bit more love for God. But at the beginning, it's like, it's not even there. It's like he loves us. It's like so pure in the way that he asks for our love. It's almost like he's not going to get it till the very end. When we rise out of our graves in resurrection, he'll be like, oh, there's the people who love me, because we do not love him well. But that's okay, because children, you are free. and Christ is more free. What makes this relationship between us and Christ saving is the choice that Christ makes each and every second. And this choice that Christ makes is the choice for perfect love. So, let your love for Christ be free. Live in the ocean of God's love. Do not come up for a breath. Let Christ breathe for you. So, I asked the elders and confessor, mini elder, to send me prayers that they have for you in 2018. And their prayers were simple, that we would learn to love, that in this love that God has for us is scary, because once you're convinced of it, you realize you have nothing to lose. And that's a very dangerous place to be when you're sitting with other sinners. Second, that we would become lesser of ourselves. And maybe not just individually, but collectively. That our church would be defined by who comes into our doors. And we receive each other and not insist on our own way. And second, or lastly, prayer. That we'd be a people of prayer. We are not fighting with flesh and blood. And the city is broken. And I kid you not, there are demons in the city with people holding them down, and we are here for them. So be convinced of God's love. He will not let you down. Well, he will let you down. Actually, he will let you down a lot. But in the end, none of it will count for being let down. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for each person that is here in this room. Thank you for gathering us together again to hear your good news, Jesus. Good news for people like us. Help us to receive, to love, to grow. And we trust you in all these things. In your precious name, amen.